Now please turn to page 785 through 786 for Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done that which is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was born into iniquity, and I have been sinful since my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward being, therefore teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear with joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from death, O God, God of my salvation, and my tongue will see aloud your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you have no delight in sacrifice. Were I to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. Sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise.
For our second lesson from the Hebrew Bible, let us turn to the book of the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. You can find this on page 691 of the Hebrew Bible in your pew Bible, and I welcome you to follow along. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson today comes from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. It can be found on page 207 in your Pew Bible's New Testament. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 12, verses 20 through 33. Just a thought about its context. If you take a look, you'll realize that this is just after the description of Jesus entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. So we're changing the calendar just a bit, but the story is important today as well. If you want to follow along, it's on page 100 in the New Testament of your Pew Bible. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All of today's Bible passages take us one step closer to Palm Sunday and to the end of Lent, to Holy Week and to the horrible narrative of Jesus' crucifixion and death, and finally to Easter and the glorious resurrection to which we look forward. The reality of the Christian walk with Jesus involves death as well as new life. And these Bible readings also reflect the sobering truth of sin and death, as well as the life-giving hope of eternal life with Christ. When you look a little closer into Psalm 51, the one that Deb led us through this morning, you come to find out that many people believe this psalm was written by David after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then had her husband Uriah killed. Well, I hope that you haven't sinned in these extreme circumstances, but I do know that each of us has sinned against God and can probably relate very closely to what this psalmist is saying. Have mercy on me, God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Well, that language may not be familiar, may not be the language that you use, but the meaning is clear. Each of us is a sinner. Each of us needs to be convicted of our sin, to feel contrition and sorrow for having done wrong, and to repent as we turn away from our sin and turn back to God for forgiveness. These other Bible passages that we read this morning remind each of us of the hope that we are seeking. Hebrews tells us that God has made Jesus to be our high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. What this means is that Jesus himself has offered the sacrifice of his own flesh, his own blood, as a way of paying the price for our sins once and for all time and for all people. His crucifixion, death, and resurrection have atoned for our sins and our death, now and forever. And so we pray to the high priest Jesus in the words of Psalm 51. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Well, with the confidence that is born of the realization that God will forgive our sins and restore us to eternal life, we look forward to that time when God's new covenant becomes a reality. The covenant that Jeremiah foretold, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Well, what this means is that we look forward to that time when God's law is written within us, on our hearts. That time when it's simply second nature for us to follow Christ, as opposed to our current default to sinning. Finally, we turn to the gospel lesson from John. Jesus is troubled because he knows what lies ahead of him in the very near future. And he wants his followers to fully understand what it means to follow him, the cost and benefits of being his disciples. Jesus says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. I want you to look at the front of that bulletin. Jesus uses this beautiful metaphor of a grain of wheat. And that got me thinking about what that means for us. Now, I know that many of you grew up on farms and probably know a lot more about farming and growing wheat than I do. I grew up in central Ohio and saw mostly soybeans and corn. Didn't have much wheat. But all of us have eaten a lot of bread in our day. So let me give you some interesting facts about wheat that may help illustrate Jesus' meaning. A single grain of wheat is also known as a seed, or a kernel, or a wheat berry. There's something like 50 to 100 kernels of wheat on a single head, if you look at that picture. There are 15,000 to 17,000 kernels in a pound of wheat. And there are roughly 7,000 grains of wheat in a loaf of bread. Think about that loaf of bread. 7,000 kernels of wheat. And if you plant that single kernel in fertile soil, that one seed can grow several hundred new kernels the next harvest. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and it dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. I want you to think of Jesus as the grain of wheat. Listen also to these words that Jesus spoke earlier in the Gospel of John. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. But this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. My sisters and brothers, this is truly good news. Amen.